What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi.
And I'm like, Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control.
Yo, it's your boy Nessie the Rilla from the east to the west. You already know who does it best. We fired up on the blockchain with Travi. Let's go.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison, and I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
Yo, what's up? It's G-Love, and I'm fired up with Travi.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga. I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
I'm Ray Usla, and I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women, and I'm fired up with Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go.
Woo! Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. This is Travi, and don't act like you're not happy to hear my voice. I am back. We are back. And we've had some technical difficulties here. I'm hoping that this records in the way that we expect it to. But we'll get to that in a second. I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, I want to say shout out to everybody out there still listening, still doing their thing in the Web3 world. It's been a very busy world for a lot of people who are looking at meme coins. And today in my conversation with Drew and Fanzo and some other people on Wednesday, which is the Meta Athletes Wednesday Twitter space at 4 p.m. I co-host that occasionally with Drew, the founder of Meta Athletes, who I've had on here as a previous guest. And Drew brings up what's going on in this kind of meme coin or altcoin craze. And I have to say this kind of not right after this conversation, but I think the day after I got in, I had to pick up some of the altcoin or the meme coin that we talk about here. And right now it's Pepe Mania. There's a lot going on in the world of the meme coins. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if that ages well. But after seeing so many things come and go in Web3, I saw so many people, behind it. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But, I just wanted to see what it was like to have an asset where the charts are going up and to the right, because it's been a while since we've seen that. But anyway, listen, there's a lot of other great, amazing things going on in Web3. I want to also mention, too, if you like the art used for Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi, probably the one you're looking at right now, it's kind of like a AI neon boombox. That's actually created by Fanzo and his AI art. So check out Fanzo. I'll put, obviously, him in the show notes. And if you want your own one-of-one, or he's got a few editions out there, you can check out Fanzo's collection and support him, because he's been giving so much to a lot of us here in Web3. So we're going to get into it in just a second with Drew and Meta Athletes. But we're going to do something we haven't done in a few weeks. And that, of course, is today's NFT tutoring session.
Hey, it's time for school.
Yes, it's time for school. And today we're going to talk about something we don't talk a lot about, and that is in the world of crypto. There is something called a meme coin. I'm taking this from investopedia.com. It says meme coins explained. What are they? Well, if you're out there and you're in the NFT space or the collector side or the crypto side, you probably heard of meme coins such as Doge or Shiba Inu. They had pretty much no value other than the value that the community gave it. And the more people that bought, the more the coin, quote unquote, coin would be worth. And then certain people who were, selling products and things would give it value by actually accepting it as a form of payment. We saw that happen a lot with Doge and a lot of the Elon Musk and Tesla things that came out just a couple of years ago. But it says, according to Investopedia, that meme coins are a cryptocurrency genre loosely defined as having an exuberant online community supporting the currency's growth. They are sometimes identified with animated character or animal meme images. During the recent cryptocurrency boom, the top currencies, and this goes on to talk about Dogecoin and Shiba Inu. It's a little bit of an older article, but it nonetheless does help to explain exactly what we're seeing with Pepe. Pepe is an animated frog character who's literally a meme. You may see him trending on your Twitters and stuff like that. But it was a coin, again, quote-unquote coin, that was put out. And you know, different community members throughout Twitter, Twitter spaces would be talking about it and talking about the value and what it means to, I guess, create value around something, because the value in a coin, again, is based on the amount of holders that it has. And of course, the market cap rises. And as the market cap rises, sometimes the price, of course, of the coin itself could rise. So a lot of people have been on talking about Pepe. So after this conversation with Drew, I waited about 24 hours or so, picked some up just to kind of see what it's like to be a part of it. And it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And if you watch the charts, especially the 1 minute charts, you see a lot of action. So again, you know, if you were a trader and things have been pretty stale in the markets and stuff like that, at least check out what's going on with Pepe. You don't have to root for or against anyone or anything. It's just something that's going on right now. So I'm happy to be a co-host with Drew on Wednesday. We're going to have some people come on and chat a little bit. Jordash, who I love and support in this space, is also a co-host on this. Fanzo pops in toward the end. So really give it a listen. I'm going to try to do this a lot more with Drew. So it's Wednesday, W-I-N. As we're celebrating wins. And in the Web3 space, sometimes we have to find the positive in all of this crazy negative that's out there. So with Drew and Jordash and Fanzo and the Meta Athletes community, let's get into it.
Travi, Jordash, happy Wednesday. How are you guys?
Happy Wednesday, Drew. How are you, sir?
Doing good, doing good. Travi, it's been a little bit since you've joined us on Wednesday, so I'm pumped to have you here. I think Fanzo might be joining us a little bit. I think he just texted us and said that he's at one of his daughter's sporting events, but hopefully he'll be able to join in a little bit. Jordash, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Dude, both of you, it was so good hanging out in New York. Travi, we met in person before. Jordash, we haven't. We got a lot of time spent together, and man, it was one of the highlights for me to spend some time with you and sober and maybe a little bit buzzed talking about business and business concepts and ideas. And man, I just felt like we could have done a couple more weeks and gone back and forth forever. But it was a pleasure to spend some time with you guys.
Yeah, man, it was good times, and you know, the best ideas come when you have some alcohol in you, man. So that's why you guys got to do that.
Get the juices flowing for sure. But there's so much that I'm glad that you're both here. There's a lot of things that I feel like we've chatted, we texted over the last couple of days, but there's a lot of things happening in the space. And so I'd love to have a conversation with you and have Fanzo's insights when he comes in too. But the reason why, and Travi, I know I'm kind of dropping this, I'm sure you saw the title before you hopped on, but one of the things that I wanted to tie back to you specifically, and this is because I know that you have a good relation and you respect him, but dude, Spotty Wi-Fi is all about the Pepe coin. I don't know if you've seen that, but he's like hosting spaces, he's hosting radio spaces, and he's been doing like almost every day. I feel like every day I hop on and I see him just hosting for the vibes and for the community. Have you seen that?
I have. I haven't messaged him directly about this, but I've definitely seen it. And it's something that just having followed him over the last couple of years since his first NFT music release came out, it's not really something that, you know, he's been known to do. So that's why I've actually taken a little bit more notice to it. I think that for whatever, I'm not going to lie. I haven't looked too deeply into exactly the benefits and utility and use cases with the Pepe coin or anything like that. But I can tell you, I've never seen him so outspoken about something like that. So yeah, I don't know. He seems to really like it. I've listened to a couple of his spaces, but I don't know. I just think that he wants to form a community around it. But other than that, I don't know much about it. And I know he doesn't give financial advice per se. And I know even speaking with him, he's like even said the only financial advice he gives is buy low, sell high. So, you know, that being said, yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the crowd, a lot of people listening who probably did get their hands on some Pepe and probably are celebrating their own wins over the last week.
It's the thing that surprised me the most is because, you know, he's, I would say protective of his brand. Certainly. Like, I think him being like, you know, he's obviously made a huge name for himself. He's able to collaborate with some of the biggest names in music. And, it seems like he feels like he has a responsibility in the NFT space, like most of us do. Like when we come in here and we're either builders or maybe we came in a year earlier than most people, that we feel like we have this responsibility to, you know, make sure that the truth and is very, very well, we stay consistent with things, but we also protect people, right? And so I felt that too, which is why I was like super shocked. Like hop on the space and he's like, I've seen tweets where he's like, you'll never see me, you know, promote something. You'll never see me promote, of course, not promoting a pump and dump or anything like that, but even like any coins or NFTs in general. And he was like really, really shilling this thing. And I don't know. It was interesting to me because I knew that you'd be interested knowing that he was pushing it and there had to be something there. But when you talk about like use case utility, like, man, I don't know if there are. Like, I don't know if there are use case and utility to even some of the meme coins that have done really well in the past and maintained a certain level of success with, like, Doge and Shiba Coin and, you know, the hundreds of derivatives that came after that. And so that's what interests me the most about this whole – like, I understand that there's money to be made. I understand that there's rewards to be early. But I think the biggest thing for me to understand is, and this is something that I tweeted out the other day, that it really truly is the attention economy, right? Because the more eyes that these things get, the more awareness people have of them, the more it's talked about, then it becomes culturally relevant at that point. And then once it's culturally relevant, then that's where things start to kind of shift for me. And, you know, if you were in the first couple of days, I mean, I think this coin has only been out for like a week. And what's fascinating to me is people feel like they already missed the boat. And I'm kind of sitting back and thinking, listen, it's only been a week. Nobody on my feed – well, I won't say nobody because I was just talking on Spaces, I think, yesterday, the day before, that it's the first time I actually saw something on Facebook about somebody that I know has nothing to do with NFTs and Web3 asking what Pepe coin is. And so I was like, okay, maybe it's starting to kind of infiltrate into the normal world. And so – my thought process now, and I've never really dove into these like shit coins or altcoins or meme coins. When I first got into crypto in general, it was 2017. I was buying Litecoin, and that pretty much held its value over the last like 6 or 7 years, and it hasn't really done much. And my thought process is, if I actually invested into something else that did have a lot more upside over these last few years, you know, that's where people are accumulating a lot of wealth and opportunities. And, you know, when we look at people collecting hundreds of NFTs or maybe like high value NFTs, a lot of these people aren't putting in a ton of liquidity, you know, from, you know, buying ETH right now. A lot of them are just converting their little crypto fortune into something else that's maybe a little bit more stable or something that gives them, you know, true utility and value. And so that's kind of how I'm approaching this whole Pepe coin. I'm not full-time blasting it. I think we're early. I think it's massively early, right? And it's not on Coinbase. It hasn't made it to some of these big exchanges where people can easily, you know, trade, convert, buy, sell, you know, for it. So it's just interesting to me. But I saw Tess dropped down for a second. But Jordash, I'm kind of curious. Have you kind of jumped into this realm at all? And I know you think I'm crazy for some of the meme plays, but there has to be something here with the attention economy, right? With just the ability for it to circulate and generate awareness and have people want to participate in it.
Yeah, there's so I can answer the question, Travi. There's zero utility on this.
Yeah, I just want you to know it was very tongue in cheek when I said.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's no utility. But this just proves, you know, and we've seen this happen over and over again, right? Like, you know, if you can create attention, you can create, you know, demand, right? You can create value, right? And that's all that's happening right now. And you got to think about it where it's, you know, I think they had, it was, in the first few days, I think there was like 1.5 million tweets with Pepe in it. And, you know, when you can create that amount of attention, you're going to get eyeballs and people are going to jump in. Personally, I've played around in the altcoin space here and there. You know, I've allocated some of my portfolio to that. And you just got to, my experience, and this is not financial advice, you know, sell before you think you need to sell is what I would just encourage you to do, because the reality that it comes down to this is you need to, there's a lot of things you got to look at, right? And you know, I didn't jump into Pepe. I started paying attention to it later than I wanted to. If I wanted to actually jump into an altcoin like this, I have certain criteria that I look for, whether it's market cap, whether it's number of holders, et cetera, and these things, because somebody's going to be exit liquidity for this at some point in time. And that's, I agree, you know, Drew, with what you were saying with Spotty. You know, I was shocked to see him in his all cap tweets talking about Pepe as well, because I think it's a lose-lose situation for him. Even though he can make some money from this, I think there's going to be portions of his audience that follow him regardless of what he says and jump in at late, and they will become exit liquidity. And I think that's going to piss off some people. If it was me, right. But obviously that's his own brain. He does what he wants to do. But the reality that it comes down to that is it is a little bit out of character, it seems like, from a traditional Spotty brands type of thing, from what I know about him. Trav, you have a better relationship with him than I do. But yeah, so I think, long story short, you know, we've seen probably 15 other coins pop up around this as a derivative in the last week or week and a half. And I think we're going to continue to see meme coin season continue to ramp up. But, you know, Drew, I think this goes back to what you always preach around memes and culture. When you can create attention, you can create a following and attention around this stuff. You can make some money if you know when to get in and get out and not hold for the long run, or at least keep a smaller moon bag. But I chose not to participate in this this coin.
Yeah, you made some really great points, Jordash. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak on Spotty's behalf. And I don't know, Travi, maybe you can message him, get him in here so he can kind of explain to us, you know, what's going through his perspective on it. But the way that I kind of view his involvement in Pepe is, you know, for him, it's not going to be I'm going to buy a bag and I'm going to promote this thing to the moon and then sell. I think it's more of, he's going to leverage a trend, leverage an opportunity for him to generate attention for what he has going on. And, you know, I think he's doing a really good job about it as well. You know, he's not, if you go into one of these spaces that he's hosting, he's not telling people to buy it. In fact, he's really just fielding questions. And what's most interesting is he's also not really pushing himself in these spaces. He has like these, you know, people would come up and ask him questions and kind of like pull it out of him, which I think is the best case scenario for him in terms of his music, what he has going on. He's actually celebrating other musicians and artists that come up on stage, and you know, there's people creating songs, whether it's like, it could be a rock song, could be R&B, could be a rap, but people are creating like songs around this Pepe movement. And he's actually celebrating and empowering and showcasing these artists more so than himself, and kind of being like this curator of the culture. And to me, it's fascinating because I think he's, you know, these spaces have 500, 600 people in it. And, you know, some are coming in and learning about him because the name of the space is just Pepe, or Let's Chat Pepe, or Pepe Radio. And so, Jordash, I think it's a, For all that I know, he could have like 10 coins, right? Like, he could have 10 billion. I'm sure he has 10 billion, but I think he's leveraging the attention and the trend more so than the opportunity to exit on people that he's kind of bringing up with him. And so in his case, you know, he might never sell, but he's able to monetize and pull value from the Pepe coin movement by just being a curator of culture. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and I didn't mean to misspoke. I wasn't insinuating that he's going to dump on people. I hear what you say, and I think you're right, Drew. I think he's definitely riding the wave of the attention to then harness that energy or that attention into the direction that he wants to. the only thing that, and I think it goes back to the age old thing of, you know, some people believe all, you know, publicity or attention is good publicity, whether no matter right or wrong of how it plays out. I only can speak from me being in my shoes. I just know personally, I wouldn't associate my brand with this, with something in this realm to the extent that he is. Not saying he's right or wrong, just saying that if you look at the track record of these altcoins and meme coins, it usually never ends very well, right? Like that's what it comes down to, that is. So like, even though he's not pushing it, even though he's not telling people to buy it, even though he may not dump a bag of coins on people as for exit liquidity, regardless of the people that he's bringing into this space or bringing into his spaces, they're associating him with this coin, whether he likes it or not, right? So no, now his brand is going to be connected with this coin, no matter how good or how bad it goes in the future. If he has zero control over it, I'm just saying that I personally wouldn't do anything like that. Not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I think there's with what his skill set is and his ability to generate his own attention, I think that there's opportunities to do it in a less risky way. But you know, I think he's, like you said, I don't think he's doing it from a negative standpoint. I just don't think that there's risk associating your brand with a meme coin fairly from the point of it can go very, very good or it can go very, very bad very, very quickly. And people will tie his brand to that depending on what side of the tracks they lie on based off the direction of the coin.
Yeah, you kind of reminded me of a quote that I've heard time and time. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And I think the other factor that I've noticed about Spotty Wi-Fi is, and Travi, maybe you can kind of chime in here too, but he seems like very for the people type of feel, right? And Nakamigos was another project that I got into that he also joined in, and he was pretty vocal about that one too. And so I think he wants to leverage these trends, but also, I don't know, there's something about like being for the people, with the people, or I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it, but it's almost just like totally for the culture, which I think, Travi, I think that's another like key component to some of these shitcoins and altcoins, is some of them totally are for the culture. And it's one of those things, like why does Doge trade at what it trades at? And I heard somebody talk about, I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, actually. This morning somebody was talking about how Pepe kind of needs like a face, like some type of celebrity or somebody similar to what Elon has been for some of these shitcoins. And I just don't even think, I feel like it's not possible now. I feel like not only is it potentially like a temporary solution, but over the last few years, there's been like celebrities have been like hit really hard with being a face or promoting some of these coins and really like getting hit hard and having a lot of legal battles surrounding. So I don't even know if people would be interested in doing so, but it is one of those things, Jordash, where you know people like to believe that this is different. I mean, I can't even tell you, like, to my girlfriend, I'm like the little boy who cried, "This is different," because there's been like four or five NFT projects over the last probably 6 months. I've been like, team's different, everything's different, this one's hidden different. And so now when I say that, it means like nothing to her, which is like totally fair. But there are some projects where you just know, you can just see the execution. And then there's some projects where if you bet on culture, you have to, like, there's a risk there to bet on culture, because that culture could also become very toxic and people lose interest and they don't want to be associated. A lot of things that you're talking about, it happens with NFT projects like way too often, whether it's top to bottom from the founding team, or if it's just people don't want to be associated with the, you know, with a community that takes certain actions or have some kind of certain message or stance. And so these are one of the ones where, you know, my personal, this is totally a liquidity play for me, right? Like, which feels horrible because, like you mentioned, DoorDash, there's going to be winners and losers. But I am going to hold Pepe long term. I'm not going to completely liquidate everything, because I do want to see what happens in a couple of years. And, you know, Pepe does have, it does have that historical value that, you know, you know, I love so much. But I've seen the way that the Doge meme has like taken over social, and I feel like Pepe had its place and maybe more so like internet forum type places, more so like maybe the real like nerdy parts of the internet. But I feel like it hasn't gone super mainstream yet where people like know about it, but they don't realize the cultural relevance it has even in this world. So I'm kind of betting on that factor. But Travi, what's up?
Yeah, man. I mean, a couple things. Like, we definitely don't really need I mean, Elon did not do for Doge what people were hoping Elon was going to do for Doge. In fact, when he went on SNL, that was it. That was the top of Doge, and that was it. And a lot of people bought the speculation that he was going to come on and kind of pump Doge, and he did the opposite. So, you know, with not to speak for anybody, but here's what I can tell you, just kind of knowing a little bit about, you know, people who are doing this Pepe Spaces, Spotty specifically, you know, in terms of for the culture, like a lot of us did things, bought NFTs for this culture, whatever this culture is, right? The NFT culture or the culture of that specific community. And a lot of us are holding the bags, right? But, you know, don't forget too, like even before somebody like Spotty was sort of like a NFT celebrity, like he was a collector. Like he got into, he loved things like NBA Top Shot. He had a punk and an ape and stuff back when the ape, I think, was like 0.5. And so he does know a little bit about what it does take to get into something early and see trends. And, you know, who knows, maybe that's a little bit of kind of like trying to just like, you know, help people also understand it. But, you know, I checked into a space that he was doing. It even said no influencers welcome or something like that on it. So, you know, I think that there's a lot in there. I don't think that it's really pumping it other than just really just trying to have, I don't know, man. I know it sounds like I'm defending people, but I just think sometimes it's okay to have a little bit of fun in the space. Look, NFTs in general, as much as we don't want to admit it, a lot of them do feel like we're gambling. We're hoping that they're going to go up in value, and many of them have not. You know, even his feed specifically, I know he was a Doodles holder, you know, and had a lot of not so nice things to say about Doodles when they weren't tweeting for a while. So, you know, it's not just kind of a pumper. He's also somebody who, you know, reads the market, understands trends, and just kind of tries to put it out there in his sort of character way of doing it. But, you know, you mentioned also Nakamigos. I asked him specifically. I was like, did you pick one up yourself, or, you know, did someone give you one to talk about? He was like, nah, I like what they're doing. Like I bought one. Like I had no problem doing that. So, you know, I think it's always, you kind of look at certain people under certain microscopes because we, you know, a lot of us put ourselves out there in public spaces, but, you know, it's all about really following the person and really figuring out like who you can trust and who not to trust. So this Pepe thing is still early, Drew. So I have a lot of faith that you're going to make lots and lots of money with this. No, I don't. But maybe you will. Who knows? And I hope you do.
Well, Travi, I'm a Pepe billionaire, so I'm really banking on the fact that it will go to like 1 cent, and you know, the rest will be history. But there are a couple. I will say that, and actually, Spotty is the one that brought this up. And I actually saw a tweet. I think it was maybe earlier today. There's a few artists. So first of all, Manifold allowed some of their contracts where people could actually mint the NFT with Pepe. I don't know if you guys have seen that one yet, but I thought that that was pretty interesting that artists were able to get paid in Pepe. And it kind of, you know, it's not exactly the same, but, you know, we've kind of seen this trend across even, you know, musicians that get paid in crypto, or athletes are, you know, getting their salary paid in, or portions of their salary paid in crypto. So I thought that was kind of cool because, you know, not only just like this buy sell, you know, factor, but also having this trade for, you know, or this mint for a certain NFT. And I don't know if Manifold supports audio files. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but I thought that was kind of interesting. That is, to me, that is some type of use case utility, right? Because maybe people, you know, are essentially providing a service or a piece of art or an NFT for essentially pennies, with the idea that, you know, they're taking this payment that they believe in. And so, you know, for an early supporter, it could be a really low price point for them to get in. But for the artist, I mean, that couple hundred thousand of Pepe, which, you know, isn't very much, could blossom into something that maybe is valuable. So that is, I don't know if I consider that a use case or a utility, but it is interesting. And I think that the fact that Manifold put that into their their contract building abilities was interesting and a great move by them just to leverage a little bit more PR on a trend. But Jordash, what are, like, you know, when I think about crypto, blockchain, use case, utilities, you think about, you know, speed of transactions, you think about stability of a coin. What would we even look for in utility and like a Pepe coin?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the coins that I've had success with are the ones that have an ecosystem built around them. So kind of like what you were just talking about a little bit, where other projects build on top or around them that start, you know, leveraging those tokens as coins to be able to unlock other utilities of their value, etc. I've invested quite a few in different other blockchains or layer ones as well. Those are personally, that's kind of where I play at a little bit more. I try to stay away. I leave all the meme stuff to you, man, because I'm too old for the meme stuff, man. You're the young buck of the crew that understands all this culture stuff. So, you know, I try to look back. I look for, like, what can I do with those coins, or how are they attracting people or builders in the space that start being able to leverage those tokens or accept those tokens? That's kind of where I've found success in this space a little bit more. So, you know, I will bow out to the whole for the culture. I'm for the profit. Or I try to be anyways.
Dude, that's so fair. And we had that running joke at NFT NYC where it's like, if I run something by you guys and you guys have like no idea what I'm talking about or it doesn't make sense to you guys, that's actually when I double down and buy more. So yeah, these are all good insights for me to pull and kind of track my own journey with, you know, are these memes actually successful? And I will say, I think, you know, when it comes to being for the memes or for the culture, and this is something that I've seen on like Snoop Dogg's Instagram account. I've seen it on like very, you know, people just want to share positive moments and utilize social and a lot of these connection points on digital for good experiences or happy experiences or opportunities to make people smile and laugh. And I think that, you know, that is what I really enjoy about the whole meme culture is, I mean, even, I don't know if you guys feel this too, but there are like friends I don't talk to, you know, maybe we don't hop on a phone call or maybe we don't text every day, but you know, we see something funny and it makes you think about somebody, you send it over like that. That is kind of a new form of communication these days, especially in my generation. And so it's one of those things where you just know that there's value there and you know that there's value of eyes. I mean, even like these small little things, like I'm trying to think what, like, okay, this is like so unrealistic for any other scenario, but Elon making the logo of Twitter, the Doge logo for like 2 days, like that will never happen in any other scenario other than this like simulation that we're living in Twitter world. But little things like that, like to me, that's super exciting to know that, or Travi, I think you mentioned him having some type of showcase or reference on SNL, like, to me, that's exciting to see some of the stuff in like a pop culture or a culturally relevant setting. And those are things that, you know, we probably won't see these NFTs in terms of IP anywhere near our IRL for a very long time. Like, I think Bored Apes, like that's pretty much the only use case that we're going to see like in the media or in the news, at least on a large scale, where this Pepe coin has the potential to, I personally think it could be in media and people will talk about it and it could be on a news channel or news cycle or I think it'll get to mass media much sooner than some of these other NFTs that we're collecting and trading that, you know, we're taking a part of because we maybe believe in a founder or believe in an ecosystem or community to kind of push forward, you know, some type of value add or entertainment or IP. And I think if you were to search, you know, the cash sign Pepe on Google, I'm sure you'll get like a handful of news articles already with people talking about it. And so to me, that's also like, it's almost like being a part of something that has momentum or being a part of something that is much bigger than yourself in terms of like attention and attention generating opportunities for, you know, memes and this culture to kind of explode across different social platforms, I think is what gets me most excited. Versus, you know, like we might know this NFT musician or NFT artist that is very, very talented. But, you know, even the top end artists in the space right now, the ones that generate millions of dollars a year, nobody really knows about them, right? Like you can't have a conversation with your friend or your family about these artists in a way that they would understand it right away. You would have to do a lot of explaining for them to understand like why you would even want to have a conversation about them. But there's just something about, you know, sharing Bored Ape because they've seen Bored Ape before. Like, I think at this point, everybody has seen, you know, the funny JPEGs or the funny monkey JPEGs. For some reason, I feel like Pepe is going to be the same. I think Pepe could be, it could be the new Sheeb or the new Doge. And it's something that is a competing factor, which I think is good because when I think about meme coins, I really only think about the dogs. I don't think about any other tokens or coins. And so I think having competition in the space will be good. But to me, there's something exciting knowing that this could hit Coinbase tomorrow or this weekend. It could hit Coinbase and then instantly just plug in, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 more holders. And yeah, part of it is financially, you know, you're financially vested in someone like this, but it'll also be a part of mainstream and, like, you know, be able to talk about it and be like, oh, I literally the first week that Pepe coin came out, I was able to invest in it. Like, hopefully that's a huge success story for many people in NFTs a year from now, because I think a lot of people are here and, you know, we were early, and but we weren't early enough to, like, be early where it was generational wealth changing type of early. And so I guess that's what excites me the most, Jordash, is I've never been super early in things. So, like, being early to Nakamigos, like, that was super fun. Being early to Pepe, which I know most people don't even feel like they're early because they've seen, like, some of the conversion rates that people have been posting on Twitter over the last couple of days. And it's, like, mind-blowing just for being, like, the first couple hundred wallets to be into Pepe. But I personally think this is something that could last if people continue to chat about it, talk about it. But hopefully it doesn't turn into that, you know, what's that one that – there's one coin that, like, a lot of people that I know got into the safe moon coin. I don't know if either of you or anybody up here has gotten into that, but that was, like, a token that I had no idea about, but, like, normies were talking about it and they were kind of viewing that as that their opportunity for generational wealth. And so I know people are interested in things like this. People are always going to be interested in a get rich quick type of opportunity if they can throw, like, $100 or $500 and potentially pay out. But I don't know. Does that resonate with any of you guys?
I mean, getting in early is something that we all kind of wish or thought maybe we were doing. And I feel like some people just say, like, you really only got to hit once. And so I could totally understand why people would want to get into something and continue to push it and continue to, you know, rally a community around it. You know, the market's been rough, especially if you got in, you know, in 2021 and we're expecting it to go on a trajectory that I know a lot of, you know, people who chart the coins and stuff were predicting. I mean, there's a lot of people I tuned into every morning, like Sheldon the Sniper is one, you know, and Crypto Man Rand and all these people who I think are brilliant, right? But they didn't know that our, you know, hate to say it, but our government was going to rug us and, you know, kind of pull it out. And next thing we knew, stuff was tanking when we thought ETH was going to go to what, 10? And Bitcoin was going to go to 100. So, who knows, man? I mean, I'm excited about a lot of things in this space. I'm excited about art. I'm excited about music. I'm excited about the things that we can do together. But, you know, Drew, I don't know, man. Maybe you are getting us a little excited about Pepe. Who knows? Maybe we'll buy some.
That's honestly, I feel like I'm constantly trying to like light the spark in you guys and getting just like a sliver of degen activity, just like a little bit of, I don't know, like me and Jordash were talking about this in New York. It's like, if it totally makes sense, if it's a great business decision, if the team's strong, like, doesn't always work out. Like, everything that makes sense in NFTs and Web3, like, typically are the ones that that don't generate the best results. It's usually the ones where everybody's kind of scratching their head. So I don't know. I've been very open-minded, you know, going into this world, especially kind of learning that early, that things that make sense don't really make sense for us to get involved in. But there's another thing. So Travi, I totally agree with you. I think music, I mean, music has been such a big one in terms of, like, success stories and artists who maybe felt like it was going to be too tough to kind of crack and build themselves and build their brand and build an audience and build in the music world until NFTs and Web3. And there's just amazing stories that we've seen coming through, especially, you know, be able to catch up with some people in person and NYC. But I saw Sammy Arriaga had, like, this, I don't even know exactly what it was, but it was like a California cheese or California milk commercial. And it was like a commercial that you would see on TV. And I was just like, damn, it's so amazing to see how he's able to kind of leverage and build. And when we ran into Sammy in person, he talked about how he's also in this mode that he wants to help other artists kind of leverage and start building in this world. And so it's really cool to see him kind of like build the way for himself and then now look to help others get involved and understand how they can take a different path or maybe a non-traditional path and see massive success, not just from like revenue generating, but also he has so many fans and he has so many people that pay attention to his music now that weren't paying attention before, not because they didn't weren't liking it, but just because they didn't have this, this tie to him or have this path and awareness to him. And so, I think his music is incredible. I think Spotty Wi-Fi's music is incredible. What I've heard either of them prior to NFTs and Web3, I don't know. Like that's a huge question mark. So they've kind of really built this path to allow them to honestly just have a platform and have a showcase. And two artists that I really genuinely enjoy listening to. And so things like that are incredible to me. Like they were able to create a sustainable career. They're able to build more relations with more people because of their platform. And Sammy's doing commercials now. Like to me, that's super cool. So I totally agree with you that there is still so much opportunity for creators, but it's tough. Like there's a handful of artists that I've tried to kind of push along the way, but maybe they don't fully immerse themselves into the culture, and so it's a little bit tough for them to try to network and build and find collectors, and it becomes maybe more of an expense for them to be in the space than an opportunity for them to be sustainable. But that's what I love about these other stories. Like you mentioned, Spotty was a collector, prior to building in the space. And I think that it's not a necessity, but I think it's something that allows you to understand how you want to position yourself to find success in the space. But yes, Travi, I totally agree with you that, we felt like we were so early. And what sucks about it is I feel like we're just months off from, like, if we would have leaned in just like a little bit harder a couple months previous, that, I think we've been sitting kind of pretty with, better investments, or at least investments that are providing utility to holders, long-term. The craziest part to me to reflect is so many people, especially within the last couple of months, are not being rewarded for holding and being a loyal holder. And, there's kind of this saying of like, if you didn't take profits, that you kind of screwed yourself by holding long term. And there's just like way too many stories like that. And that's what kind of scares me about the space a little bit, because, a lot of things that we push are, if you're a loyal holder, if you get in the right projects with the right timing, that, there's going to be a lot of value to be pulled for just being loyal and holding. And there's even that, people always talked about hold. And it just wasn't the case, especially this year, and to the point where some of these things that you're holding, maybe teams got distracted or teams decided that it wasn't for them anymore. And next thing you know, you're literally holding these things to zero. So Jordash, I definitely agree with you that, you have to – this is something that you just have to learn, or else you'll keep getting wrecked, is you have to be willing to sell. And, I think that's what the toughest part for me is – knowing when to sell and when to buy means you got to be pretty plugged in. And now you have to decide, do I want to spend my time tracking these things on a day-to-day basis, listening to spaces, understanding the trends, understanding the, what's going on, the announcements? Is spending that time going to be worth it, for how you want to make your money? And so that's, for me, that's like the biggest internal struggle, is like, do I want to keep paying attention, or do I want to focus on things that I know are going to be good for me for the long term? And so I kind of always have this internal battle of, DGen plays versus let's find a team that I want to support. And maybe this money that I'm holding now, you have a little more trust in putting into something where they're building something at such a high level or such a level of execution that it might be better than you just holding on to that, just safeguarding it. Right. So that's something that I constantly battle with. But
true. I have a point to kind of piggyback off that. If it's cool for just a sec.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So I think a lot of the dichotomy in this right now is, are we looking to get into, are we looking at it from the trader's point of view, which I think probably 90 some odd percent are looking at it as an avenue to make money, right? As an opportunity to flip and flip up and do those kind of things. I think a lot of people look at it that way. There's also the other perspective, and I do look at it from both, and I wish, like you said, I had taken profits before things started to dip down, and teams that you and I maybe knew and loved are no longer with us. But one thing I did start to think about was when I realized, and Fanzo could speak a lot to this. Well, I think he just dropped down. But as an artist, I think Fanzo could probably speak a lot to this too, because, you know, I was looking a lot at what was going to be coming on with OpenSeas and all the royalties. And a lot of people were predicting that a lot of the projects were going to go to zero because they didn't think that, you know, the teams would be able to, you know, provide payments or keep a team on board or, you know, carry out any of the deliverables or continue on with the roadmaps and yada, yada, yada. But like, to me, like I am not, we are not the same, as they say. So, you know, I wish that I had sometimes taken more profits, but I really didn't get into the NFTs specifically for that. I got in, you know, the crypto side for that. But NFTs, like, I loved art and music in real life even way before I discovered NFTs. And so I thought to myself, like, what are some really cool things I can do to support artists in this new space that I love? And so I transitioned away from, you know, maybe buying more IRL art and buying more digital art. And like that opened up a whole new rabbit hole for me where I'm able to learn about new artists and connect with them. And many of them are fine artists in real life. But like to your point earlier, I think if you have a skill that you're already doing or you already have in real life and it translates well to the NFT space and Web3 space, then it makes sense, you know. But trying to just, I feel like, convince somebody to say, hey, you can make a lot of money in this space, and they're just kind of like, eh, about it, then it doesn't make as much sense. But, you know, I mean, there's someone even listening here. I think I just collected David Houston. He's in the audience now. Like one of his, he's only got like 20 out, one of his like limited edition stuff. And this is like a 3D like video thing. I'm just like, holy cow, I can never buy this in real life. So it has opened up a lot of doors for me in the art appreciator side. I could say that. But you're right, on the other hand, where it's kind of like, what teams do you invest in? What teams do you think about? And hey, they can't all be Bulls and Apes project. Am I right? I mean, that's one that came out and has been consistent the whole way through. Shout out Tess. And Meta Athlete's true. Everything you're doing and continuing to provide value. So you just kind of wish that people would be able to stay the course more. But I've seen burnout. I've seen people I respected a lot in the space get burnt out and not want to continue on anymore. So a little bit sad on that side. But again, bro, there is a dichotomy to it.
Yeah, I think everybody has their reasons and for both wanting to get involved and participating in the space. And Travi, I think, you know, you're one of the best examples of there's more purpose behind it than just making money and just earning money or having, you know, additional streams or even passive income. And I think what's interesting is I got involved in crypto in 2017, just messing around, just thinking that it could, you know, things could moon or this could be the next Bitcoin or there's technology here, but we don't even understand this technology. We're kind of just getting involved. And the community aspect to this all is also another huge factor, right? Like, and I think that with, especially with these meme coins, that community could be a factor of why people stick around and why this coin becomes something long-term. And I know we're going back to these meme coins, but in my opinion, like it's kind of all the same, like NFTs, meme coins, like with Meta Athletes, like there's never been an, you know, really early, there was times where I'm like, man, maybe this isn't going to work out. The minute that we found a mission that was worth pursuing for both the team, like myself, that also the community could get behind, is like, ever since then, it never was more of the business pursuit that I think we first envisioned it to be. And it became more of a community centric kind of mission. And it's one of the things that I think for me is most impactful, because even today, like I'm so grateful, like people today, even like a year later after holding Meta Athletes, is still like really grateful that, you know, we're around, grateful for what we're building and the people that we're bringing together. And, you know, I've kind of always said this from the beginning, but if we're going to spend this much time in NFTs and Web3 and spaces and all these things, Discord, that we should at least generate and build like really strong relations and want to build relations with the people that are here. Right. And so like you, Travi, Jordash, I mean, Fanzo, Hercrypt, honestly, everybody in the space, to me, that's the biggest benefit. And Jordash, you know, just listened to the podcast that you did with Katie the other day, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before. And, you know, I used to constantly say the word networking. Like I love to network. I'm joining this community. I'm buying this NFT to network. But I love your quick like mindset, like perspective of getting away from the term networking and more so on building, you know, powerful relationships. That's ultimately what, like, that's why I love this space, is because I can meet, you know, amazing minds like both of you. I can meet artists, musicians, can meet athletes, coaches. I mean, some of these coaches that are like building on a daily basis with me and Meta athletes are people that I met in NFTs and Web3. Like Coach B, man, we've talked every single day for almost a year, and it's somebody I met. It's not like I had this connection, this relationship prior to NFTs. It was built in NFTs in probably a rug somewhere where we're like, hey, I saw you're a coach. Hey, I saw you're building Meta athletes. And so that's what's most amazing to me. Like me and Coach B's relationship, like that's why I'm in NFTs and Web3. And you know, there's a lot of great people that I love connect, like Tess. Me and Tess constantly chat. So many great conversations. And I genuinely enjoy spending my time here, knowing that I can build relationships with people that, you know, have similar values, have a passion to grow, learn, develop. And yeah, so I totally agree with you. You know, like music brought you, you know, music and artists, you know, brought you in, and you kind of viewed it as a new way. Like I viewed NFTs as a way for like, even from the get go, really first hearing about it from Gary Vee in his podcast, thinking like, this is a cool way for me to potentially meet Gary Vee or chat with Gary Vee or connect with them. And I've met so many great people along the way that it would be really, really tough for me to try to, you know, buy a little bit of time or try to build a relationship with them, maybe just from social media. But on NFT, you know, in NFT land, it kind of put us in the same playing field for us to be able to connect on a little bit of an easier basis. What'd you call it, Jordash? Power relationships or power partners? Really great podcast episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's power friends and power partners, right? I think there's two different kind of buckets you can build. But you know, when I talk, you know, you always hear me. I'm talking about, you know, making profit, etc. And it's half joking, but it's half serious. But at the same time, you're 100% right, because you know, I always say history doesn't repeat itself, but it leaves clues. And being able to have access to the people you have access to right now, being able to have a connecting point is what we call it, which is NFTs, Web3, etc. You're not going to be able to get the access to these people in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, right? So the relationships that you're building now, you can create relationships very, very quickly and very, very powerful. And you guys are going to go on this journey together, which is only going to strengthen the relationship as this space continues to expand. So you're 100% right, Drew. I think that's the beautiful thing about this space right now, and us who are still here in the space, regardless of market sentiment, regardless of floor prices, regardless of, you know, rugs left, rugs right, etc. We understand that we're here truly for the long term, and we can start forming the relationships that we form now. Obviously, you know, Drew, I come from the, and we're both in the same similar space, the digital marketing space, the online space. And, you know, I look at the people like the Amy Porterfields of the world, the Jeff Walkers of the world, those types of people that are kind of the industry leaders right now. They were all early, like it all comes from an early group of people that became friends early on in the space that kind of grew up in the space, right? It's the same concept of they call it the PayPal mafia or whatever it was. It was the Peter Thiels, it was the Elon Musk, the et ceteras, right? That was early on in the e-com space or in the P2P space in the early 2000s, right? They were all passionate about creating that offer, creating that product, creating that business. And then obviously they went on and done some amazing, amazing things in this world. Well, obviously besides, you know, Elon ruining Twitter right now, but all jokes aside, that's where we're going to be able to tell those same stories with the people that we're building relationships with now. And that's why it's beautiful to stay in this space now, is because of the people that you're able to access and start building a connection around.
It's such a good point. And that you just encapsulated like why I feel so bullish on being here and participating versus, you know, like having a success story of like, not everybody feels this way, but a success story of like what I was able to extract from the space during this time, or like we made this amount during this time. you know, the people that we meet along the way, I think is super significant to why we do things and what our future looks like. And I was able to really learn this perspective really early. I'm super grateful to understand, you know, what it means to truly build relations and you know, why people buy things, why people want to do business with you, why people want to hire you. And a lot of it comes down to building that relationship to the point where people trust you at a very high level, right? And so that absolutely is what I'm all about. You know, I think that it's one of those things where there is a certain level of vision, you know, to be somebody that truly values networking, you know, not that you expect it to come back to you or expect it to come back to you in an ROI or tenfold, you know, down the road, but you do have to be a visionary to like do some of these things and kind of be built almost like built on karma. It's a new world, right? Like, the last thing I'll mention, Jordash, is how technology is changing the way that we think about some of these things, in the sense of, you know, when Doge and Shiba first came around, I think maybe people were in Reddit forums and they're chatting in like these different forums, internet forums. Maybe there were Instagram, you know, groups, and maybe there's chatter on Twitter, but you know, there hasn't been like a, and I think we saw this with Bored Apes too, with the rise of Clubhouse, but the opportunity to, you know, deliver a message and start to build a community in like literally a couple of days, I think is unheard of today, right? Like, to open up a space and have 500 people join your space, listen, and potentially be influenced in a day, you know, isn't really something that we saw, unless you were Fanzo using some of these early live video channels where people could hop in and listen to him. But I think it is a huge factor. I think spaces, we saw it with NFTs and Clubhouse, but I think spaces and some of these coins, I really think it's why Nakamigos like really started to pop off, is because I would wake up at 7 a.m. and there's a space going because they were still going from the night before, and like it just never ended. Like, they just, every single day there's a Nakamigos space. And I think it did a lot for being able to rally people together and build a community almost overnight, in the sense of truly hearing some of the conviction in people's voices. But I'll kind of leave it at that. Incredible Wednesday. Thank you guys for the chat. This was really insightful for me. I love hearing your guys' perspectives. Travi, Jordash, anything you want to leave the people with?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, if you're not following Jordash, please give him a follow. Jordash had one of the most captivating speeches or presentations at NFT NYC. And, you know, you did mention a little bit about NFT NYC. You probably recapped that a little bit on previous episodes. But I think my favorite thing about NFT NYC, besides seeing all the art being represented, besides seeing all the music events everywhere, which I speak a little bit about on my on the recent podcast I put out, but it was seeing you guys. It was seeing you guys again. And I think that there's nothing more powerful than getting together. You know, like you said, Jordash, the touch point is Web3. But, you know, sometimes it's cool to have a touch point be a high five or a handshake or a hug. And those are the things that, you know, you don't get through the Twitter dramas and the Discord dramas, especially. You know, I just loved having a chance to see everybody and continuing to build, whether it's on a Twitter space or in our side chats or at the next, you know, the next IRL event. And just remember, you know, no matter who you are, there's a real person behind that PFP. So doxed or undoxed, there's somebody there. So let's try to be a good person. Let's try to bring one love to Web3 and keep the culture positive if we could.
Man, I can't follow that, Travi. That was too good, man. The only thing I would say, man, I'm just curious when Drew's gonna start that alpha channel, man, because Drew's the one I feel like is making all the profit in the space, man, and he doesn't share any of the goodness with us until you know, he wants us to be his exit liquidity. So that's all. I'm waiting for that, Drew.
You know, I usually text you about 2 to 3 days after I get involved, just in case. But the last thing I'll say to that, Jordash, is one, I'm not making a ton. And if I am, it's going either right back in the Meta Athletes or projects that, you know, I truly trust, which you know all about because I was pretty much in your ear for a whole week about. But the one thing that I've been telling people, and I know it's like, it's tough, but like, cause you don't like when you get burned so many times, like you just don't want to participate anymore. But my whole thing, and I've been kind of saying this for the last few weeks, is like to get the hits, you just have to keep swinging the bat, right? And so, I mean, I've been consistently buying and selling NFTs since, like, literally since I got in, since I went on that first trip with Fanzo, and you know, he kind of like shared that bug with me to really start buying some of these things. But yeah, like I. You know, when I think about, I mean, I've had some pretty serious kind of like internal like strife with, is this space going to be around forever? Are people going to like, is this going to be around in 2 to 3 years or 4 years? Or like, is this going to kind of die out and people kind of chalk this up as like a super Ponzi? But I don't know, like when I think of, when I compare it to other spaces, it's not that far off from like the trading card industry. It's not that far off from, you know, people are talking about how you can't build IP from just being around, but I don't know. I've seen dolls on Target shelves, or, you know, when I was a kid, it would just be a doll on the shelf. Like there was no TV show, there's no movie. There was just like instant IP being built and awareness and attraction to a certain doll. I'm like, why couldn't we have that, you know, with some of these products? I mean, it's not going to be every single team that launches something, but there's going to be a handful of projects that, you know, they just get picked up and they get a chance to have an opportunity to be in front of a lot of people. And the market will tell us if this is going to be something that people care about or not. But I don't know. I want to keep participating. I want to keep playing the game. It's fun for me, and they could be gone, right? It could be, but I don't know. I think that the rise of digital assets, you know, it just needs to find its stability point. But George, I saw you unmuted if you want to throw something in before we close up.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think that scenario that you were talking about, I think we all go through that scenario, right? I think it's easy to get to look out what's right in front of us and say, holy crap, like, you know, this is down. I'm not making any money, et cetera. But one thing that you said is 100% correctly, right? Like, it's the same thing from if you're an angel investor or if you're investing in startups or whatever it is, you only need one or two of them to hit, right? You're investing in 10, 8 of them are going to fail, 1, 2 are going to hit and cover your losses, et cetera. But on the flip side, though, too, you got to remember that it's a space where we don't know what we don't know right now. And I think we're not even at the tip of the iceberg of what this technology is going to allow us to untap as a society, as consumers, as creators, as builders. And I think we're at this stage along the technology adoption curve where there's not a lot of monetization in it right now because we're still trying to figure out the best way to build with it. But on the flip side, what gets me through these periods, Drew, personally, is this is where, you know, you hear me say before, follow the money, where I start seeing big brands, big companies with millions and millions of dollars that look at trends, that look at research, that understand what's happening or products they're building for the next 3, 5, 7, 10 years. And they're investing in this technology. And we see this happen all the time. And some of them are successful, some of them are not, right? We understand there's a difference between launching successfully in Web3 and just trying to push your Web2 into Web3. But irregardless, they're not investing in this technology. They don't truly see the fundamental shift that this is going to have on consumer behaviors, on customer experiences, on how they're going to be interacting with brands and or how we're going to be interacting with brands and they're going to be interacting with us and ownership of data, et cetera. So that's what gets me through to say, I'm here for the long run. I'm yes, it sucks. We're all not, you know, we're not in the green. We're not in a bull market. But the reality that it comes down to this, we're going to look back in 2, 3, 4, 5 years and laugh at the periods and laugh at the things that we thought was the maximum potential or the utilities of the stuff because we're just not aware of it yet or hardware or software hasn't caught up to it yet. So that's what gets me through this. And this is just part of playing in an emerging technology space. And we see this happen in other technologies. I was literally on a panel this week in California. And I was talking to the audience and I was like, how many of you guys remember buying anything online in the early 2000s? Everybody raised their hand. And I was like, how many of you guys remember when you or somebody around you told yourself that you're never going to buy anything online because you put your credit card line, it's a scam, and you're going to get scammed, right? It's the same thing that was happening in the early 2000s where like, I'm never buying anything online. I'm never putting my credit card or my banking information online. And now we buy things with our watch. Now we buy things with our mobile phones, right? It took us until Apple came out and they made the user experience and the devices and the hardware and made it easy for us to understand the use case, not so much on the technology. That's when it started getting mass adoption. So I think we're still in a shift of consumer behavior of where this technology is really going to, this is not a minor tweak, or this is not a minor adoption of technology in society. This is one of these major shifts that happens every couple decades. And we're just in the, we are in the beginning stages of figuring out how this fits into the life and user behaviors, and how we're going to be growing with that. So that's what gets me through. Yes, some rugs suck. Yes, this is, but those are, you know, you've heard me say this before. These are the stupid taxes that we're paying now to understand the technology, understand how this stuff works, understand how we can build the right relationships with the right people, because we're going to get paid off in the long run if you stick with it, versus if you're just short-sighted and say, you know what, I lost, or somebody rugged me or whatever, I'm out, I'm never going to do this again. That's allowing somebody else to control your emotions versus you sitting back and understanding and critically thinking of how is this really going to change society and users' behavior. And that's where the true value is, when we truly unlock that stuff.
Dude, I could not agree more. And there's so many great things that popped up when you're kind of dishing that out. You know, something that I've been a lot more conscious of myself, my actions, like my participation, my kind of like, not vote for the space, but like my, I guess like my contribution to the space. And it's really a benefit, or not benefit. I can attribute it back to you and Fanzo. Fanzo pushing me onto Starbucks, which is crazy, because I swear to God, I was the first 5 or 10 people to sign up for the beta program. I was so early to that beta program, but somewhere along the way, I missed out on the confirmation and the sign up process. But I'm in now to Starbucks, and I got plugged in the other day when we took a trip to Target, and you two, DoorDash, like kind of gave me a heads up on Dot Swoosh and Nike's program. And, you know, part of me was like, and this is crazy, because, like, you know, you think about it, I'm like, I'm over here preaching like we're not late to Pepe, but I felt like I was late to Starbucks. I felt like I was late to Nike. And for some reason, I just wasn't as excited, because I knew I missed out on some of these first drops. But I had this, it was pretty much walking away from Starbucks with Fanzo when we went to that community meetup that you missed out on, DoorDash. But I had this like moment where I'm like, shit, like if I really want to push this space forward, like I need to be supporting and participating in these ecosystems, because if Nike fails and Starbucks fails, like this is going to push back everything like years in terms of, you know, people having trust and people understanding. And there's a handful of people I've been talking to where maybe their significant other or girlfriends, or, you know, they don't understand this whole world or why we're spending so much time here. And I'm like, man, maybe we should share the Starbucks, you know, rewards program with them, and they could realize that they could be heavily rewarded and even sell things just from being an active customer that they're already doing. So, you know, they might be earning free drinks and they might be earning things like that, but to earn like a stamp, a digital collectible that has demand for it on a secondary marketplace, I think it's an amazing case study. It's an amazing opportunity for us to learn, like you mentioned, DoorDash, about some of these consumer behaviors and what it means to have these types of behaviors synced up with a digital asset. And so I signed up for Nike Swoosh. I got it all plugged in. I think I missed the poster drop, but now I'm ready for anything moving forward in the future. And yeah, so I think if there's anything that I think, you know, I would love for people to take away from at least, you know, hearing us talk for almost an hour is, yeah, you guys can pass on Pepe. You know, like Pepe is not that significant in the grand scheme of things. Maybe it will be a year from now or 3 years from now. But I think that there is one takeaway, is that we should be participating and we should be supporting Starbucks and Nike and brands like this, because we truly need them to win, right? Like they have to win, and they're the ones that have the opportunity to pull, you know, incredible analytics and data and to support like everything that we're doing. Right. So I think having big wins at that level, which, you know, maybe people don't want to support big brands, but like I was talking to one of my friends and they're like, you know, I make my coffee at home. I support local roasteries. Like I don't want to get involved in the Starbucks NFT. And I was like, that's totally fair. Like I totally understand that. But even if you did so in the fact of, you know, potentially helping this brand, you know, gain a little bit more traction and, because I do feel like that. I do feel like it would be a major loss for the whole space and this whole evolution of web if brands like them, you know, aren't able to figure it out or make it, to legitimize having these assets as a true as something that's just significant in the world of, you know, being a loyal customer or being a loyal member to a brand. Like, we'll see what happens with Amazon, but you know, that's another great use case and case study that I think will come from NFTs and Web3 is not them just being a marketplace, but for people to be rewarded for consistently being a top end Amazon, you know, user. And I know that this household will definitely benefit and hopefully get a ton of stamps from Amazon NFT. But me and fans are still waiting for Chipotle too. Like that's another great use case and study, which I personally think that they're already built for and everything is already kind of set up. But Fanzo, I saw you popped up. I know that you had some signal troubles, but we're going to close up. I wanted you to give you a chance to chime in if you had anything for us. If you're here, there we go.
Yeah, I'm here. I've been here. Yeah, go Pepe for Drew. I'm cheering on Pepe and Hezbollah and Nakamigos and in-betweeners on team. You know, I love that your excitement for it. So I'm not here to poop on a parade. You know, it's not my game. I muted $ Pepe 3 days ago, not before I knew that you were even playing into it, only because it reminds me of my poker days. You know, I for 2 years I played, you know, full-time poker, and always everybody would say, I can't believe you're full-time gambling. And I would tell them, no, I don't gamble. I haven't gambled in 2 years that I've went to Vegas because I didn't play blackjack. I didn't play the slots. I didn't play roulette. I played against people. I sat down on a poker table, and I always looked like that was where my game was. And I feel like I knew early on that like the crypto, you know, altcoin space felt a lot more like blackjack. And I know a bunch of my friends that make really damn good money on blackjack, and they're freaking awesome. Like I know the mechanics of the game. I understand all of the math of it. I funny enough, like because you sit around with poker degens, like poker degens for a break, we go play blackjack, which sounds like NFT degens taking a break and going and playing with altcoins. It's like a very similar world, but I suck. Like the only time I put money in the blackjack, I don't think I've ever in my entire gambling life have ever left that world with more money like from blackjack than what I sat down with. Yet poker is the opposite, right? So I kind of stay out of the altcoin and even the crypto space as a weird segue. Like I want ETH to go up because I have all of my ETH stored in these really shitty JPEGs. But from a whole, like I like that there's energy here. And in a weird way, you know, like I'm not anti-altcoin in the sense of it keeps people active, right? And we need activity in the space and energy in the space. I am anti-altcoin if people associate NFTs and their value as the same as an altcoin. Because when my dad talks about Shiba Inu, and like that's where my dad's all of his freaking money is in. And we're playing two different games, like where his money is and where I'm investing my time. So yeah, that's just my thought. I mean, I love that their energy's there. I mean, it's cool that we're on stage with a Pepe billionaire. I'm not sure I had that on my dance card for 2023. So I tip my hat to you on that, Drew. And you know, I liked it. Like I said, I like the energy. I agree with you on the brand side. Like it's interesting on brands being in this space, but at the same time, like, I mean, Jordache was in here playing with ETH when it was a three digit crypto. And like, I know for a fact that if I was in when Jordache was in on ETH, I would have sold that shit when I hit $1,000 and then hated my life when it was at $4,000 and then bragged to everybody that I'm a smart motherfucker when it's $1,800. So like, I don't know. I just, for me, like I'm, you know, a lesson that I think I'm trying to learn in this space and even in NFTs is like, I just need to stop playing outside of like my knowledge lane and my expertise, because all I'm doing is getting wrecked playing in these NFTs that are outside of my, you know, like even like the gaming stuff. And like at this point, I'm like, you know what? If I don't understand enough of the mechanics and I don't believe it's onboarding either my style of people, like I'm getting the hell out. Like I just can't see it that other way. But yeah, good stuff. I've enjoyed the conversation. I had a good signal for a little bit, but then you were talking Pepe, and I didn't want to poop on the parade on that side. So then I finally got home. But yeah, this was a good conversation, and I'll have to go check out Katie and Jordache's interview. I know that'll be a good one to listen to. And go Pepe.
Hope you enjoy this. This was a real treat for me to be a co-host with Drew, somebody I respect so much in the space, and of course with Jordash. Check in if you're into Twitter Spaces on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Trying to make it a pretty often thing. You could come in, you could chat with me and Drew and others live right there in Twitter Spaces. We'll talk a little bit about sports, about things going on during the week. But also, you know, you can ask questions about really anything that you have questions about. It's a very welcoming space. So, again, thank you, everybody out there, for continuing to listen. Make sure you check out our affiliates and sponsors and everything that's going on inside of the show notes. Be sure to check out Fanzo's AI art. And, of course, thank you to all the holders of the Journey NFT. I will be giving you some updates soon. We've got some merch being shipped. You can always DM me at Mr. Travis, though, MrTravisTho, because we got to keep on trying to make people happy in this crazy, mixed up, kind of nerdy, kind of cool, brand new world of NFTs and Web3. And be sure to make yourself happy if you can. Don't FOMO into anybody else's gains. Let's celebrate one another. Remember, there's a whole lot of great art, a whole lot of great music out there in this space. It's not just meme coins. It's not just, you know, having an NFT and flipping it. You know, things that you would like in the real world, I'm sure there are use cases for that if you're looking to get involved in Web3 or NFTs. And while you're doing that, please be sure to do what's most important. It's what I always try to do, and that's bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.